Welcome, everyone. We are about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insight Share number 180. We're going to talk today about the importance in working on oneself and their marriage and their overall life is to have a purpose and direction in life. So even in the title of this book, you know, that Rav Tversky has, I've got to get out of my way. What is the way? What does way mean? So, for example, in Tehillim, all the way in the beginning, the first parak, at the end of that parak, it says, Ki yodei Hashem derech hatzadikim, Hashem attends or knows the ways of the righteous, v'derech rishoim, and the ways of the rasha, toived will perish. So it seems like both a tzadik and a rasha have a derech. The question the Mefarshim ask, how does a rasha even have a derech at all? It's a very good question. He says, very interesting, in Pittsburgh, there is a certain bridge, you know, place famous to have a bridge to nowhere. There are several bridges to nowhere in different parts of the world. And he doesn't recall the history of this Pittsburgh bridge. And there was an article, though, in the Pittsburgh newspaper who wrote that the term bridge to nowhere is an oxymoron. It really makes no sense. Why? Because a bridge, by definition, is a structure that provides a span from one place to another place. And if you don't do so, it's not a bridge. It's a structure that was intended to become a bridge, but never made it. So when you have this bridge to nowhere, it seems like there's no purpose to a bridge. Either there actually was one at one point that connects one point to another point, or they started to make one and it never materialized. But a bridge, by definition, is connecting from one place to get to another place. That's what derech means here too, with derech tzadikim and derech rishayim. It's not a random thing. If you throw coins and they fall to the ground, it's not a derech that each one fell that way. Ants that make an anthill, they seem to be moving at random. They have a way. They're guided by instinct. They have a way. That is a derech. So that is the idea. Now, derech means a focus in life. So he says an interesting story. Tversky said he sat with his father in the hospital when his father was receiving chemotherapy for pancreatic cancer. And his father was looking out the window at the busy traffic. Cars going in, cars weaving out, trying to get a few feet ahead, risking their lives for a gain of a few seconds. And at that stage, Rav Tversky's father was very introspective, thinking about what life is about. And he told Rav Tversky, what a foolish world. You know, he brings the story in again, he likes the cartoon Peanuts. And Sally says to Charlie Brown, wake up, big brother. And Charlie sits up and saying, wake up, what for? Sally says, so you can get an early start. Charlie says, I'm not going anywhere. Sally says, that's a shame. You could have been the first one there. Which is very interesting. The first one where, though? You have no direction. What's the point of being the first one anywhere if you don't even know what you want to do or where you're at? This is the mentality that made his father's comments meaningful. What a foolish world. Meaning that you did not have a goal at all. You have to first have a value. And then get the point of that value. He says another interesting for example, even the value could be worthless. For example, speed has a value, even if it achieves nothing in our modern culture. So for example, reasonable so-called people in our generation is convinced they should spend an extra couple of $1,000s on a car that can go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds. Now, there's no practical purpose of why a car needs to go from 0 to 60 miles per hour in 4.7 seconds. But because it's in our brain, that as an advertising gimmick, it becomes important in our brain. And the fact that it's really totally irrelevant to anything doesn't hold you back. That is the idea of an alcoholic who may have an impression that they have a way, they have a mahalach. But they don't. They may try to gather a lot of money, make money. It's an illusion. Many alcoholics and drug addicts are immensely wealthy, but they're miserable. Why? Because they don't have a healthy self-identity. The idea of an identity, of finding themselves, of knowing themselves, of knowing who you are, is extremely important. He brings a story, you know, these famous stories about this wise men of Chelm story. So here's one that Retvorsky brings down in this chapter. He says, one day a citizen of Chelm was at a public bathhouse. Suddenly dawned on him that without clothes, most people look alike. So he became anxious at the thought of when it comes to go home, how will I know which one is me? After pondering this a bit, he came up with a brilliant solution. He found a piece of red string and tied it around his big toe. He now was distinctly identifiable. Unfortunately, in the process of his soaping himself and showering himself, the red string fell off his foot, and another bather stepped into it, and it stuck to his foot. So when it came time to leave, the first bather looked at his foot, saw nothing on it, and became puzzled, perplexed. Then he noticed the other man with the string on his foot. So he approached that person and said, I know who you are, but can you tell me who am I? In other words, people identify themselves by the equivalent of, in this story, what this red string is. It's not a real identity. Their identity is on the luxury automobile in their driveway, or their fancy mansion of a house, or other external things. But that's not an internal identity. That's an external possession. You could sell the car. Then what happens? Does the identity go along with it? It's like sort of saying when a person says, I am a doctor, I am a lawyer, I am an accountant, even I am a market share. It's a description of one does, rather one is. So when people ask, you know, how are you, who you are, describe yourself, and they say, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, I'm a therapist, or I'm a, a salesman. No, that's not who you are. That's what you do. Who are you? So this derech of having an individual identity is an extremely important yesod. Everyone needs that derech. Everyone needs to have that focus in life. That saves so much. Agmas nefesh. And it gives so much clarity to a person. People sometimes feel driftless. They're just going with the flow, not thinking about where they are and where they're going. But when you have that, you think about it, and you have a sense of direction and a sense of purpose, it changes everything. He also talks over here, very important, about character development. An alcoholic may stop drinking because his doctor said that his liver will get seriously damaged if he continues drinking, and any further drinking will kill him. So he abstains from alcohol, and he's considered what people call a dry alcoholic. Alcoholics generally have many character defects. We all do. They do too. But they remain even after he stops drinking. The wife of one of these dry drunks said, dry drunks means that they were successful in staying away from drink for a considerable amount of time. But the wife said, I wish he'd start drinking again. He was easier to live with then. One alcoholic on his 35th anniversary of sobriety, that means for 35 years he didn't touch a drop of alcohol, he said the following. He said, the man I once was drank, and the man I once was will drink again. If I ever go back to being selfish or inconsiderate, I once was the way I was, I will drink again. He understood that if he falls back to his old character traits, he will drink again. So the idea of healing from addictions is your self-identity of recognizing what the Rambam actually says with tshuva. I am not the same person that I was that did those behaviors. I am a different person. Now, what applies to alcoholics or to any addiction applies to all faulty behaviors of every human being. They have to do the same thing like the Rambam says. I am no longer the person that committed the sin. I am a different person. Now, character defects are deeply ingrained in one's personality, and they're not easily eliminated. Rav Solanter used to say that it's easier to complete the entire Gemara, the entire Shas, than to correct even one single character defect. Rav Chaim Vital, who was the Talmud of the Arizal, the primary Talmud of the Arizal, said that a person should exercise greater care about his character defects than even Averis, Dairaisa Averis. Why? Because the Avera, even a terrible Avera, does not necessarily always become part of a person's personality. Eventually it could if it's repeated a lot, but it doesn't necessarily become one's part of one's personality. But a character defect, like going into rage, right? Or apam, by Shimon Alevi, Lahavdil, becomes part of the person's nature, and it's much more difficult to correct that. So, for example, you may have a person that is meticulous about his standards of kashrus, and it's mahadrin min hamahadrin, and they're medactic with it, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing, but they still have kas and resentment towards another person who offended them. That character trait, it's much harder to uproot. He believed always, Rav Tversky, and I know not everyone, people, there's big discussions about it, and people feel different ways about it, because the 12-step program is something that externally seemed to be innovated by non-Jews, particularly to alcoholism, but he saw inner concepts in there, in how it's done, that it is Torah-based, number one, and it does help tremendously have a human being using that logic of the 12 steps, not just for addictions, but for human, regular, normal life, to bring out the best in you and to eliminate, actually, character defects. Now, he says you have to do your own part. You have to do your hishtadlus, and then you daven to eliminate that defect, but you have to do everything you can. First, you try. But the davening truth is you could do before also. One addict once said, my recovery is a miracle. There's no way I could have done this. I know that God did this. I just had to get out of his way. The way he got out of his way is to pray to Hashem, give it over to him, and do your best you can. And follow these healthy steps. Just incidentally, I will bring it up. There is a book called God of Our Understanding by Rabbi Chase Taub. A beautiful book that goes into this 12 steps at length and the logic of it and how it works. Now, he doesn't get to the point to say that it's Mamish Taira, because it came out through non-Jews and alcoholics that recovered coming across this methodology. But there's no question about it that it's Torah-based and it's aligned with Torah in a very, very major way. So to go through what we just said here, number one, it's very important for every person to have a derech, to have a way of life and a healthy way of life, goals, aspirations, the desire to achieve, to bring out your greatest potential. And number two is abstinence from whether it's alcohol or other types of addictive practices, or even a non-addict, absence from some types of wrongdoing does not necessarily mean you're sober or you're healthy. The way you determine whether you're sober or healthy is to dig deep and to work on your midos as best as you could and ask Hashem to remove the harder midos from your heart. Bracha v'atzlacha.